Amen. Thank you, Cody. Well, take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2, and then there's some other places that we're going to be this morning in just a little bit. We had a Christmas party last night, and one of the things that was worn were these. And I explained that I was preaching about Jesus being the light of the world. Now, they suggested that I wear these during the whole message, but I'm not going to wear them, but I am going to put them on right now just to fulfill that promise, because they said, I don't believe you'll do that. Well, I just did it, okay? And so we're talking about Jesus being the light of the world, amen? All right, that's what he was born to be. So I'm going to take those off and click the little button here and lay those over here out of the way. There we go. Those won't be distracting anymore at all. Well, we're talking about why Jesus was born. And this morning I want to talk about the fact that he was born because he was the light of the world. And that is an astounding fact. Now, there's a website that's called despair.com. Now, you're saying you're making that up, right? No, I'm not making that up at all. Despair.com is a website that sells anti-motivation posters. You ever seen those motivation posters? Maybe they're in your workplace and it says integrity and has this beautiful picture and this wonderful quote or statement about integrity or teamwork or any of those things. Well, this place is the opposite of that, okay? So let me show you one of their posters. Despair. It's always darkest just before it goes pitch black. Man, that'll motivate you on it. There you go. That'll get the juices flowing. As a matter of fact, we were looking. I was showing some of those to one of my daughters. We actually went to the website. We're looking. And the sad thing was is that a lot of those posters described a lot of your workplaces. Okay? You'll relate to it when you see it. And you're like, I'm going to buy that one, and that one for my workplace, because that kind of describes who we are. But there are many people who are going through Christmas, there are many people who are going through life without hope, with no hope at all. And it seems like for them, they're going from one dark event to one dark event. And when you look at the New Testament and when you look at the time into which Jesus was born, that period of time, have you ever asked yourself, why was Jesus born at that moment? Why not a moment before? Why not a moment after that? Why that moment in history? Why was that that moment that in the sovereignty of God, the plan and purpose of God, that he chose that moment in history, that moment in time for his son to be born? And I guarantee when you look at all of the story, you understand that God knew exactly what he was doing, and he brought forth his firstborn son into that period of time because that was the moment, that was the time for Jesus Christ to be born. But because of that, it was a time in the history of God's people that it was one of the darkest moments for them. They had already been under Roman rule for a number of years, and really they had privileges. When Julius Caesar had looked at Israel, he noted that Judaism had been around longer than anything else, and so he granted them special privileges. He allowed them to rule themselves. That was different than anyone else in the Roman Empire. But another emperor came along later by the name of Octavius. And one of the things that he did was to institute a census, and that comes into play of the Christmas story, because that's why Mary and Joseph are making the journey to Bethlehem from Nazareth. But that census went on for at least a couple hundred years, every 14 years. Now, why would Octavius do that? Why would he institute a census? And by the way, this meant something deeply to God's people and to Israel. It meant two things. One, it meant they were going to be taxed. That's one reason you would do a census. The other reason that you would do a census is that you want to know how many men are there so that you, if needed, can conscript them into military service. But it meant something even greater than that. For the people of Judaism, for the people of Israel, it also meant that this was taking them back to a time that they remembered from their history. A time when they were in slavery in Egypt. And so that period of time felt like that. It felt like, man, we are going, we're in a season, we're in a time. It's never been darker for us than it is right this very moment. And part of the reason that it was so dark for the people of Israel is, as you go back and read the Old Testament, is you remember that what happened to God's people in the Old Testament, both kingdoms, both the north and the south, they all got caught up into idol worship. And the thing that brought them down as a nation, the thing that caused them to go into captivity, the thing that brought them to the place where they even were right at that moment with Rome, was the fact that they had replaced God with false idols. They were worshiping someone else than worshiping God alone. So not only was it dark politically, it was dark spiritually. They were like people groping around in the dark, not knowing where they were going, not knowing any kind of hope. I've met people like that, so have you. In fact, some of you this morning may feel that way in your life too. But folks, it was in that moment, in that dark moment, much like the despair poster, when it's always darkest just before it goes pitch black, that God did something absolutely amazing. He brought his son into this world. Jesus spoke about it this way. When he's speaking of himself, he said, "I am the light of the world." Into the greatest time of darkness was born the brightest light of all in Jesus Christ. Interjected into that dark time of desperation was the hope of Jesus Christ. God stepped in. When Jesus makes this assertion, by the way, I could preach just on this one verse, but when Jesus makes this assertion, if you will, that I am the light of the world, notice what he says, I am. If you know a little bit about the Bible, you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that when God revealed himself to Moses, it was as the what? The great what? I am. And when Jesus speaks this, and by the way, he speaks about it several times in the Gospel of John, you know what he's saying? I'm God. God is the creator of light. God is the giver of light. Light is life-giving. And we only have light because of who God is and what he's done. And in that dark moment, the light shone. Let me show you. Look in Luke chapter 2. Let's look at it together. We're going to read just the first 10 verses together from Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to open your Bible or however you're looking at it. There are some Bibles in front of you in the pew if you need one. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or should be taxed. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, or his engaged wife, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Please don't be like the little boy came home and told his mother, yeah, they told us the story of Christmas and the shepherds were out in the field washing their socks by night. No, they weren't washing their socks by night. They were watching their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior. Next Sunday when the music ministry sings, our emphasis next Sunday, he was born to be a Savior. He is our Savior. That is the good news. Who is Christ the Lord, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then the story goes on to account the baby and the shepherds going there and their sharing of this good news. But do you see it? Into the darkest of times, God stepped. And he stepped into our presence through baby flesh in a manger. Not through a king on a throne, not through a political power, not through a military power or a leader, but through a little baby. That little baby being in flesh, in the flesh, God incarnate. Emmanuel, as the prophet would say of him, God with us. And hope was born in people's hearts. A light shone in their lives. By the way, that light still shines today. Amen? That's why we're worshiping this morning. That's why we're talking about these things. Because he was born to be not just a light in the world, he was born to be the light of the world. There's no other light other than Jesus Christ. There's no one else who is able to do as he can do for each of us. I want you to see two things with me this morning. I want you to see that he was born light of the world because the world without God walks in darkness. And by the way, we have, ever since Adam and Eve stepped into sin. So what is spiritual darkness? What does it mean to walk in darkness? It's really very simple. Walking in darkness is a person living apart from God. It's very simple. If you do not know God, if you do not know God through his son Jesus Christ, then what would be said of you is you're walking in darkness. You don't have a direction, you don't have a purpose, you don't have a fulfillment in life, you don't have a savior, you don't have a redeemer. You are walking in darkness. Now, the prophet knew that. Listen to what Isaiah had to say. The people, what? Walking in, what does it say? Darkness. What were they doing? They were walking in. They weren't just in darkness. They were walking in darkness. You know what walking means in the Old Testament? It means how you live your everyday life. It's used both in a positive way and a negative way. When we're walking with God, that's the positive thing. So we're walking in light. We're walking in his purpose and his plan. But when folks are walking in darkness, it means they're living their everyday life. They're making their decisions. They're choosing what they do in darkness. And it's really hard. In fact, it's impossible to make the right decisions and to do the right thing in the dark. You have to have the light in order to be able to see and to know the right thing to do. These people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land, watch this, of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So anyone without God in their life, anyone without Jesus on the throne of their life, is walking in darkness. Walking in darkness is dangerous. Walking in darkness will get you in trouble in a big hurry. Kathy and I were at the Grand Canyon back earlier this fall. And thank goodness for fences around certain parts of the Grand Canyon. Number one way people die at the Grand Canyon, they fall into it. You know when many of them fall into it? In the dark. Because there's a lot of it that's not fenced. And people have just stepped off the edge into the abyss of the canyon. Thought they knew where they were going. Thought that next step would be on solid ground, but it wasn't, and it ended in their death. And there are people that live life that way. Oh, I don't need any light. I don't need to mess with God. You don't need to talk with me about that. I'm doing okay. Then boom, off they go. Because they're walking in darkness. Every person apart from God find themselves in that way. In Matthew 4:6, by the way, when Jesus came and started his public ministry, you know what passage he started with? This one. Look at Matthew 4:16. You'll see the very thing that's on the screen restated by Jesus. Jesus said, "This is why I've come. I've come because people don't know where they're going. People are lost. People are in danger. People need rescue from the darkness." Now, when John wrote about it, he wrote about it this way. Over in the letter of 1 John, not just John, but 1 John. This is what he says. "This is a message which we have heard from him." Who is him? Jesus. So we've heard it from Jesus, and now we're saying it to you. We're telling you, here's the message. God is what? Light. There is no darkness in God at all. Guess who has all the darkness? Satan does. Because what do we find in Satan? We find one who wants to kill and steal and destroy. In Satan, we find one who lies every time he speaks. And that's all from where? From the darkness. But not with God. He is the light. And in him it says, watch, there is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, what? We do what? Say it with me. Oh, y'all didn't say that very loud. Why? Because we can be guilty of this. What does he say? If we say that we have Jesus in our heart and our life, if we say that we believe in him, if we say that he's our Savior, say, hey, I remember when I was baptized as a kid, and yet we walk in the darkness, which means living life without any regard to God. What does he say? We are liars. And if we're liars, what does it mean? It means we don't know him. It means we've never known him. It doesn't mean what we've done or what we've said. None of that's really true. Because if we say we know him, then our lives ought to reflect that in the way we live and we think and we make our choices and all of these things. Or else we are found to be walking in the darkness. And John even says it like this in the first chapter of John. John doesn't give us a birth narrative at all. He doesn't talk about Bethlehem. He doesn't talk about the prophets. He doesn't give genealogies. But what he does do in the first 18 verses of John's gospel is to relate all of this theologically. What does all this mean? What does it mean that Jesus came into this world? And the thing that it means to John is that he's light and he's life. In him was what? Life. And that life was the light of all mankind. Do you hear what he's saying? That if you're walking in darkness and there's no light of God, you have no life. You say, no, wait a minute. I'm living and breathing and I'm getting up and I'm going to school. I'm going to work. Hey, I'm alive. Yeah, you're physically alive. But there's another way of being alive. and that is to be alive spiritually. To have awakened in you, transformed inside of you, who you are by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by his very light. And then John goes on to say, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's a powerful statement. Because we can look around as Christians, we can look around as believers almost on a daily basis, and you almost get discouraged. It really does almost feel like the darkness is pushing us back. But I want to give you some good news this morning. And although that may be true in some ways, and although that may feel that way, ultimately it will not be that way. Ultimately, the light always overcomes the darkness. You know what darkness is in its most basic form? Darkness is absence of light. And any kind of light dispels darkness. Now, you can go down to Home Depot right after church, and you can go to an aisle where they sell flash what? Lights. Now, go down there and ask them, do you have any flash darks? They don't. Because you can't create darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. And if there's darkness in your life, listen to me. It's because there's the absence of God in your life. There's the absence of Jesus as your Savior in your life. And that happened all because of sin. That's just because of Adam and Eve. We're in this fallen state. We're separated from God. And we live in spiritual darkness. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 4:19. But the way of the wicked or the sinful is like what? Deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Isn't that incredible? It's like, I don't know why this stuff happens to me. Why has it happened to me? Why is all the bad? Why? You're in darkness. And when you're in darkness, you can get hurt. How many of you in here have ever discovered a Lego in a dark living room? Josh. Hallelujah. It was a moment. It's not like you were praising God, but in the dark, you can't see it. You can get hurt. And not only that, listen to Job 5:14. Darkness comes upon them in the daytime. Now, that's amazing. Even though they live in light, if you will, because of God's creation, it means that their mental capacity, their moral capacity, their spiritual capacity is darkened. And therefore, they really don't have a way of making moral decisions in their life, of choosing what's really right and wrong. And that's why people will do wrong and call it right and call what's right wrong. Because they live in darkness. Moses, describing this in Deuteronomy 28:29, said they're like a blind person in the dark. They're just groping around. And that's the way we are when we live in rebellion. Paul, listen to Paul. He said, I'll rescue from your own people and from the Gentiles of God speaking. I'll send you to them to open their eyes. Now watch this. Here's Paul's mission with the gospel. To open their eyes and turn them from what? Darkness to what? To light. Now, what is that like? Well, he goes on. And from the power of whom? Satan to God. So who's behind the darkness? Satan. Who's behind the light? God is. Now, why do people need to be brought from the darkness to light? He says it right here. So that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified or set apart by faith in me. The whole preaching of the gospel, the whole mission of the church, all that we do is because folks are in darkness. The whole image for our church is that of a lighthouse. Jesus will say that in the Sermon on the Mount. Not only does he say that he's a light of the world, but he said, you are also the light of the world. And a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Therefore, do your good works before mankind that your Father in heaven may be glorified. Why do we exist? Why are we here as a church? We're to be shining a light into the darkness. Why do you exist? Why do you live your life day by day as you live and work among people? It is to be a light in the darkness. And sometimes you don't even know when you are that light in dark places. Because it may be in small ways and it may be in great ways. But I want you to understand your role. That wherever God has placed you, wherever he's planted you, where you live, where you work, where you shop, the places you go, you are a light. In fact, you may be the only light that some people have. The only light of the gospel that they have exposure to. Well, there's a second thing this morning. And that simply is, he was born to be light of the world because the world cannot know God apart from Christ's light. It's not possible. You can't self-generate your own light. You can't self-generate your own salvation. It can only come through the light of Jesus Christ. The reason that he was born. And so look at what Luke has to say. Luke says this. To give what? Light to those who sat in darkness. But he adds something. And in the shadow of death. Why did Jesus come? For this reason. To give hope. To give possibility. And how does that message go out? It goes out through us. He goes on to say, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Now, folks, NATO can meet. Governments can have councils. Organizations that can be formed that whose goal is the establishment of peace. But I want to tell you this morning that the only true peace that can ever be known in life is never a self-generated peace. It's not a human peace. It is a godly peace that only comes through knowing Jesus Christ. You want peace in your life? Then you must know Jesus Christ as your life. His life gives you light. And he wants to guide your feet in the way of peace. Is your life in turmoil? Is your life upside down? Are your mistakes and your choices leading you in the wrong way? Then you need to come to Christ today. You need to know his light and you need to know his peace. Jesus said it like this in John 12:46. I have come into the world as a what? So why did Jesus come? As a light. In fact, he came as the light. So what? So that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. So what happens when you believe in Jesus? You're moved from darkness into the light. Now you see yourself for who you really are. And not only that, you now see yourself for how God sees you. In the darkness, people tell you all kinds of things that you want to hear. But in the light, we know who we are. But we also know who we are in Christ. And maybe it is in the darkness that people told us that we're worthless. Maybe it is in the darkness that people have told us we'll never amount to anything. But that's not true. Because in the light of Jesus Christ, there is hope and possibility. Amen? He transforms us. So he is that light. Paul says it like this in Romans 5:5 when he's talking about hope. He said, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I mentioned this verse earlier. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them, "I am the light of the world." Now, I want you to see something important here. It's one thing to say or declare that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But notice what he says. Whoever what? Follows me. See, there's a difference. It's one thing to say you believe it. It's even one thing to declare it. But it's another thing when you begin to follow him. What is that? That's discipleship. The follow part helps us to understand. It makes us to know that we truly have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ alone. We become his follower. You've heard my definition I love to use of a believer in today's world. We are serious followers of Jesus Christ. We're not casual followers of Jesus Christ. Did you see my favorite cat meme this week? I've been talking about cat memes. I love those cat memes. My favorite one this weekend, the angry woman saying, "No grave can hold me down." And the cat says, "Yeah, but two sheets can on Sunday morning from you coming to church." Boom. Another high five for the cat. That's what this is talking about. It's one thing to say you are, but it's another to live it. To follow him. Notice, who follows me will not walk in darkness. When you walk in his word, when you walk in fellowship with him, when you walk in prayer with him, he's not going to lead you into the darkness. He's going to lead you into the light. And not only that, but you'll have the light of life. Many of you know about the ministry Hope is Alive, that Lance Lang. It's a recovery ministry. And I follow their ministry very closely. And they celebrate the months and years of sobriety. And one of the things that they've done, when somebody comes to a year of sobriety, sometimes it's at 2 years, is they put a before and after picture. I always love looking at those. Because here's a person that came into the program, here's the before picture, and it's never a pretty picture. I don't care how pretty the person is, the picture is never pretty at all. I mean, there's no light in the eyes. There's no hope there. The countenance is always downcast. The shoulders are always slumped. But the after picture, because you see, the one of the reasons that HIA, Hope is Alive, exists, is not just for recovery, but it's for recovery that's found in and through Jesus Christ as the light of life. And then there's that after picture. And I've met many of these people. And guess what? They look different. There's light in their eyes. There's almost a fire in their eyes. There's a passion in their life. Because you see, when they came to the light, they now have found what true life is all about. I was visiting recently with a young man who is a church planter, planting a church kind of over here in the Plaza District, meeting in his home. It's going to be a home church. But he told me a story, and I didn't know the story. He came through the recovery ministry of HII, both he and his wife, okay? And now here is this church planter, this young man who knows God's word. In fact, he may even come. They're still getting their church not quite launched. I may have him come preach some Sunday morning for us. But I'm telling you, he sat down and told me, he said, "You know where it all started?" I said, "I don't have any idea." He said, "You remember when you had HIA come to your church on a Sunday night? You remember that? It's been several years ago. And Lance brought some young men with him, and they sat here on some stools, and they shared their testimony. You know what he told me? He said, "That was the first time I ever publicly spoke." And he said, "You don't know this, but Portland Avenue has a big place in my heart because that's the first place I shared my story." Isn't that cool? And you see, he has the light of life. He has Jesus' life. He no longer walks in darkness. He walks in the light of Christ. You see, he's much like Paul talks about right here in Ephesians 5:8. And I love this. Watch. He said, "For at one time," Paul's talking to believers in the city of Ephesus, "for at one time you were not just walking in darkness, you were darkness. Your whole bent of your life was dark." You remember those days? I do. Remember your days before coming to Christ? Some of you do this morning. You remember you were darkness. There is no hope about you. But then you met Jesus. And as Paul says, but now you are light in the Lord. Isn't that great? That's the transformation that Jesus makes from darkness. He delivers us from Satan's kingdom, his domain of darkness, into the wonderful kingdom of God's light. And then he says this, walk as children of light. That's the encouragement for those of us who've been moved from darkness to light. What are we to do? We're to walk as children of light. Because what? Remember what John said? God is what? God is light. And if we're children of God, we're going to exhibit what our Father exhibits. We're going to be people of light. We're going to be those little lights. But listen to me. We don't have forever to make that decision. We don't. You have this life. As long as you are living and breathing and physically alive in this life, you have opportunity to come to the light. But listen to me. Once your life has ended in death, there's no more opportunity. The place of preparation for every one of us is in this life while we're alive. Because when we die, there's no more options. There's no more opportunity. There are no more second chances, if you will. It's done. And nothing left but the judgment of God. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a judgment coming. Listen to Jesus. And this is the judgment. He said, boy, God's such a mean God. No, he's not. No, he's not. The judgment is a self-pronounced judgment. If you face the judgment, it's because of your choice, not his. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their works were evil. Satan has convinced them that the pleasure of sin, the pleasure of their own decision, the pleasure of running their own life, to them for right now, is more important, more fulfilling, makes them supposedly more happy than anything else. But guess what? Even though they may think that, believe that, there is the certainty of judgment. Listen to what Hebrews says, is appointed unto everyone, to every man, to die once, then listen to what he says, then the judgment. There is a judgment that comes if Jesus Christ is not yours. If you do not and you have not trusted him to be your Savior and Lord. I want you to bow your heads with me, please. And I want you to think very hard and long for a moment. So if I ask you this morning, where are you? Are you walking in the light of a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you walking in the darkness of being far away from God? Where are you? Where are you? You. So it's not about anybody else, it's about you right now. And if you cannot clearly say of yourself that I have moved from darkness to light because of putting my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ alone, who has forgiven my sins, who has given to me the gift of eternal life. If you cannot declare that, you cannot know that, then I invite you today. I plead with you today to come and give your heart and life to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior and to come into the light. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for each of us. And the believers, you got to deal with this too. Are you walking as children of light? Are you pleasing the Lord in how you live, in the things you do, and the decisions you make? Are you pleasing? Are you walking as children of light? If you're not, then you need to repent of that and come to walk in His light again this morning. Okay? Father, it's very clear. It's not hard. It's not complicated. You were born to be the light of the world. And now if we will simply turn our eyes upon You, if we will come to You, You'll forgive us. You'll cleanse us. And You'll move us from darkness to light. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would draw people to Yourself this morning. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please, and we're going to have a time of response to God's Word this morning. And there will be some gentlemen down here to...